Hello from the members of Royce City Methodist Church. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you're blessed by this message today. You're invited to join us for worship anytime. You can learn more about our worship options, locations, and how to get plugged into the life of our church by visiting our website, roycitymethodist.life. Today, we hear from our senior pastor, Reverend Chris Everson. May God bless you as you listen to his word proclaimed.
Sorry, I got stuck there. I was thinking about that last verse. Because originally, that poem, that last verse, isn't read that way. Originally, I forget the person who wrote that hymn, just repeated from the first verse, the last part. But, Andrew, could you go back to that, go back a couple of slides, please? One more. Yeah, that verse right there, God, mend thine every flaw. And I look at that, and I did try to do some research, and I can't figure out where that's from, because what they did was just, America, America, God shed thy grace on thee, and crown thy good and brotherhood from sea to shining sea is what is in the original poem. But the closest thing that I saw was like about 1904, she rewrote the words and put these words in. And as we talk about freedom today, I want to say this is an important aspect that I think sometimes we miss. When we think about freedom, we think about possibly, it was, maybe I do, maybe y'all are a whole lot smarter than I am, but I look at freedom and thinking about it as we got it all figured out. We have everything how we need it to be when we're free. But no. Freedom is actually, I think more importantly, saying we don't have it all figured out. We don't fully know everything, but because of who we worship, while we are gathered here, we know that God has it all figured out. And we get to live in this freedom knowing that we don't have to do it all because God is there with us, God is there for us, and God sees us through. That's why the reason why I'm wearing this hat today, this is a Kansas hat, so excuse me, but it has the Kansas motto on it, which is ad aspera per aspirin. Ad astra per aspirin. And what that means is to the stars through difficulty. And I thought, you know, what a better day to wear this hat as a reminder that we continue to move forward as individuals, as a society, and as a church through difficult times. But we know that as we continue to follow the God who loves us and cares for us, that we will see through all of the difficulties around us and we will enjoy the glory of God together. So as we begin this message, would you please join me in the prayer of consecration that you can find printed on the screen? Would you please join me? Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, as we as a country celebrate 250 years, remind us that we are still moving on to live in full freedom from you, for you. Allow the grace that you bestow on each and every one of us to help us to look forward, understanding what has happened in the past, but to live as we hear in our founding documents for a more perfect union. And that union comes through the love and grace that we receive from you. So God, we pray that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart here be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I love seeing a bunch of people with the same shirt on today. The shirt, I want to thank Michelle, who is over currently at Wesley Hall, making sure everything is getting ready to go for the potluck afterwards. We're getting a bounce house for kiddos, and as I'm glad Charlie said, kiddos of all ages. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be kiddos of all ages in the bounce house today. Getting all ready for that, you know, so she helped pull this together, and Taylor Roberts also helped get these shirts together for you. But the thing that I like about the shirt the most is the scripture that is on the shirt. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, yes, we are thankful for the country that we live in, but we are thankful for the freedom that we have received through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul talks about it in his letter to the Galatians, because they were struggling with a lot of things. They were struggling how to live their lives faithfully as a minority in a big area that had all these different gods around them. They were trying to figure out exactly how do we live our lives in the freedom of Christ. And Paul gave them these words. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, to just have on the shirt, but here is a word on the screen. Paul writes, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, so I was just thinking about what exactly is freedom. And philosophically, there are two different ways that we can look at freedom, which is the power or right to act, speak, and make choices without undue hindrance, coercion, or restraint. That's the definition of what freedom is. And there are two ways that we can look at freedom, philosophic-wise. First, there is a freedom from. And when we talk about freedom from, it's having freedom from persecution, freedom from undue acts upon us, freedom from oppression, arbitrary authority, enslavement, freedom from censorship or poverty. That's one type of freedom that we hear talked about a lot. We have freedom from these things. Then we have freedom to. And when we talk about freedom to, it's a freedom to do whatever we want. Freedom to assemble, freedom to vote, freedom to pursue education. These things have a way for us to look at how we can be free from things, but we have freedom to do things. And when I think about those things, as a follower of Jesus, I think they both miss the point. As we live as followers of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be looking at how we have freedom from things and how we have freedom to things, but the freedom that we read about in Scripture and the freedom that we live into as followers of Jesus is that we have a freedom to do things. I think I said that wrong. No, I did say that wrong. It is a freedom for things. Now, what's the difference? Especially as I messed that up. The difference is freedom from things. We're saying, okay, we want to avoid all of these type of things that we don't want to be a part of our lives. And we have freedom to things. We say these are the things that we want. We separate the good, what we see as good, as from bad. Those things that we don't want anything to do with, and those things that we want all the things to do with. If we take a look at a lot of the discourse that we have in our world today, that's all it's about. We want to get rid of these things because we don't like them, and we want to indulge in these things because these are the things that make us feel better. But as followers of Jesus Christ, I want to put up for you today that we are to live our freedom for things. The four is to have freedom in Jesus. that live our lives where we give honor and glory to Him and let everything that we do be a reflection of His life in us. Galatians 5 reminds us, first and foremost, that the freedom that we have, it is a gift. It's not something that we can pull from ourselves, because if we try to pull freedom and we try to have it where we have full control over it, then we find ourselves back into the slavery, if you will, trying to make sure that we're holding on to what we think makes us free. Well, the fact of the matter is, the only thing that makes us free is what Jesus has done for us. Jesus talks about this in the Gospel of John. He is having a conversation with some Jews, and they're talking about how they can be free. And when he mentions this freedom, he says, oh, wait a minute, no. We're free because we are the sons of Abraham. Because we are the sons of Abraham, we have everything all put together, and anything and everything we want is ours. But then Jesus says these words in John 8:36. He says, no. See, the Son, Jesus, He is the one who sets you free. And if you are set free by the Son, you will be free indeed. See, I think when we talk about freedom from and freedom to, freedom becomes a self-improvement plan. If I want to be free from something, that means I am making sure that I am doing all of the work. If I want to be free to something, that means I have to make sure that I gather everything that I need so that I can have that freedom totally for myself. But see, when we live our freedoms for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we become what we hear in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, where Paul says that you are no longer children, but you are co-heirs with Christ. And that freedom that you receive in Christ is a freedom that gives life, and gives life abundantly. My friends, we live in such a great country that talks about how we can be self-made and how we can have anything and everything we want. But if we have anything and everything we want, but we don't have Jesus, we don't have anything at all. If we live our lives thinking that we are the ones that can manufacture every single thing in our life, but we leave Christ at the door, and we forget the free gift that He gives us through His life, death, resurrection, and ascension, we may as well take our freedoms and just throw them out the window, because it does not help us live as Christ calls us to live. Galatians 5:1 talks about how we must stand firm. And again, this is another one of those danger words that we talk about. Standing firm isn't making sure that I have what is mine. I grew up in the 80s when I got home from school and we would turn on TV at that time, kiddos who are here. We only had three channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS. And I believe on NBC at 4 o'clock, so I've been home for about 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, a guy by the name of Phil Donahue was on TV. The older people are laughing because they know who Phil Donahue is. Phil Donahue was basically one of the first daytime talk show hosts, and he would have people that would come on and they would start arguing about their point of views and how they did things. And Phil would just kind of sit back there and go, yeah. And he would ask questions that would just kind of probe a little bit more. And that really, Phil didn't have any of the fisticuffs that happened whenever Jerry Springer started to come along, but he was the one who basically got all of that started. And I still remember one particular episode. A young woman was standing on the stage, and she had her finger pointed at this one person, and she made this statement: "Your freedom ends where my freedom begins." And then the whole studio just got silent. And I don't remember exactly what else happened, but those words kept going through my mind. Your freedom ends where my freedoms begin. Now, in the world that we live in today, that would be considered standing firm. I'm going to make sure that all of my freedoms are protected. I don't care about your freedoms. I don't care about anything that you have. As long as I keep my life safe and secure, that's it. Newsflash. That's not what Paul is talking here. Paul is not talking about making sure that you have what you want or what you have and make sure that other people are held down. What Paul is talking about, that when we accept the freedom that Christ gives us, we stand intentionally in Jesus. There's a song that we're not doing today. I kind of wish we would have done it, but I'm thinking about it right now. It's a song, "Fear Doesn't Stand a Chance, For I Stand in Your Love." I said, Holden's like going, oh, I think he thought about doing that one. But no, fear doesn't stand a chance, because when we stand in the love of Jesus Christ, when we stand in that love, we are able to set aside legalism. Set aside those rules and tasks that we feel like we have to check off every single time so that we can be free, when all we have to do is stand in the grace of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says it this way: "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We must be careful to guard our hearts and our minds in the way of Jesus, because every opportunity we have is an opportunity to share God's love with others. And when we are standing on that principle, my friends, nothing can keep us from the love of Jesus. See, freedom, it isn't permission. Freedom is transformation. Freedom lets us see and know that we are changed people as we live in the freedom of Jesus Christ. One of the things that has concerned me over the past few years, and I've been drawn into this here or there, and I try not to get drawn into these social media debates, especially whenever posts are written by Beautiful Panda or Expressive Giraffe 4673. And what I mean by that, if you're not familiar with social media, those are the anonymous people that are making posts. That way, their names aren't attached to what they are saying, but they can make their points out anyhow they want, whether it's anything as absurd as when somebody talks about looking for a restaurant, and then they come back with, "Well, have you tried Grandy's?" And I'm going into some big Facebook type of stuff here, I know, if you're not familiar with that. But they're just trying to poke the bear. They're trying to say, "I'm going to see if I can get a rise or get a draw out of someone." And having the idea that because I can say something anonymously means that I have permission to say whatever I want. But see, that's not the freedom of Christ. The freedom of Christ says that I will fully live my life in Jesus so that people know that Christ is in me. Romans 12, 2 says it this way: "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, living a life in freedom isn't to tell somebody that this is how you must live your life so that you conform to me, but it's to live my life as Christ lives in me. So when people see that, they say, that's the type of life that I want. That's the freedom I want in my life. How do I receive that freedom so that I can be set free from the traps, from the dangers, from those things that hold me down so I can live my life in Jesus? My friends, we have a week of celebration. And I know there was a great fireworks display here in Royce City last night. There'll be more fireworks coming up. We'll see a lot of news media that will be so positive and so wonderful. And then we'll see news media that will be so hateful, rejectful, and horrible. Live in the freedom that Jesus has you. So you're not fully drawn to what is considered good media and what you might consider horrible media. But live knowing that the freedom that we have is a freedom that Christ sets us free each and every day so that we can live our lives in Him, through Him, and for Him. Let us pray. Dear God, we are thankful for 250 years of freedom, for 250 years of being able to say, God, we are thankful for the opportunities that we have, not for ourselves, but to share you with others. Help us to not fall in the traps of talking about freedom from and freedom to, but help us to live a life that shows freedom for the gospel of Jesus, so that all that we say and all that we do, people are drawn to your love and to your life. So God, we lift this prayer in the name of Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, the great power of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.